Hello and welcome to The Leaderverse with your hosts, Drew Lee, Lucas Sheradin, and me, Jesse Button. So motivation isn't real, and preparation isn't sexy, or fun for that matter. So how do leaders, how do high achievers seemingly get it all done, all the time, with a smile on their face? Prepare to be schooled for a dose in reality today by none other than Lucas Sheradin. All that and more today on The Leaderverse.
You know, it's funny. It just seems like there, at least in the real estate space, with all the changes going on, there's a lot of chippiness. There's a lot of tension. There's a lot of overwhelm, pressure, stress, people making poor decisions because they're scared. And I think about like training for a marathon. And I know Drew's getting ready for one, I think, right now. And obviously I'm several months out in front of it. There is nothing sexy about preparation. Zero. Nothing. And you know, I know, like, I was watching all my friends who ran the Boston this week. And they were talking about how energizing that was and how, you know, the crowds were like just amazing and all the scenery and, you know, the nice, you know, the houses as, you know, when America was being built, seeing all that stuff. It's like, but when you're training, there's none of that stuff. There's nobody. It's like yesterday, the wind was blowing like 40-mile-an-hour gusts here. So it's like, you know what? I'm going to start outside, and then I came inside and on my Peloton finished my workout. It's like there was nothing sexy about that at all. And I think that right. Leaders have to understand that leadership isn't made in the moments, the big moments under the spotlight with, you know, your entire organization on their feet because you're giving a keynote. Leadership is really built is, do I want to change today? Do I want to get better today? I'm hitting my head. I'm doing the same thing over and over and over again, getting frustrated at my people and my organization. And I got to change something. There's nothing sexy or motivational or inspirational in that moment. It's just like, oh, I can't be that controlling, or, oh, I have to trust my people to do certain things, or, oh, I have to have hard conversations of accountability and holding people, you know, able to do whatever it is. Whatever our business is, it's, I think that one of the hard things about leadership is the stuff that counts the most. There's no music in the background. There's no soundtrack underneath that makes us feel motivated. There's no theme from Rocky or Gladiator or anything like that. It's just do the right thing over time. And you wake up one day and you have an organization that you're pretty proud of, and you've got a leadership style that you're pretty proud of. It's the same thing as training for a marathon. I've not traditionally been a runner. I am now a runner. And this last weekend I ran, I think it was 6 miles or something like that. And I'm really glad I ran outside, because had I been on a treadmill, I probably would have quit after mile two. But the nice thing about running outside is you go out 3 miles, you have 3 miles to come home. You can't just get home. So you have to get yourself home.
It's a great trick.
Yeah. And it was just like, there was nothing fun about it and sexy about it until I got done. It was like, oh my gosh, I did that.
So if we're supposed to, this is a struggle. If we're supposed to practice as we play, how do you get that energy of race day into your practice? How do you psych yourself up?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think right now, there are days that it feels good to run. And then there's like yesterday was a pretty stressful day in my organizations and my companies. And actually, I made the strategic error on the drive home of having a hard conversation with somebody. And it's not, you know, this specific situation, it's not working really well. And we might be considering going different directions, which is always a hard thing, because when it's not best for that person, not best for you, there's a whole lot of personal feelings involved there. And so, but I got home and it's just like, I am not running today. There is no way I'm running today. And I think right now I'm in the stage that, you know what? I made a decision several months ago that I'm running on these specific days, these specific amounts. And my decision carried me through, but there was nothing, there was no hype. It's like, I wish I had a crowd in my pocket. You know, I wish I had, an instant thing, but there, I know you practice like you play. However, I think that there's a part of that may not be completely accurate, because sometimes you practice like you practice.
Yeah. Yeah,
Like,
I think
I don't know.
that's.
Did you take, I know you're a musician. I took 9 years of piano lessons. Did you take any kind of music lessons growing
I'm
up?
self-taught all the
Okay.
way, and I think that if I did have a teacher or homework associated with it, it would have stolen all of the joy
Yeah, I
out of
wanted to
it.
play a guitar all growing up. I mean, guitar was cool, but my parents, because I'm half Korean, put me in piano lessons starting at age 7. And I took them till I was 16 when they allowed me to quit. And I loved, well, nobody loves recitals because they're nerve-wracking, but I loved a recital after I nailed it. If I nailed it at the recital, boy, I loved it. I walked away saying, I stuck that piece. I remember, and actually when I quit piano lessons, this will tell you how competitive I am. We were at the state of Kansas had a statewide piano competition. And I played Rachmaninoff Prelude in C sharp minor. And I got on stage and I nailed that bad boy. I killed it. It is a hard piece to play. Rachmaninoff had huge hands. And so it's like, it was not easy to play. And I stuck it. Felt so good. But after it was over, I lost to my little sister by a tenth of a point. And we both lost to some 7-year-old Chinese kid. And like,
Oh
no moss, my best got me third place. That second place loser, I'm not doing it. But I nailed it there because that was a year of practicing at home for 45 minutes. And my mom, Lucas, is that what you're supposed to be practicing? And what have you. And I quit that and picked up the guitar and taught myself guitar. But it's just like there was nothing about the process that was enjoyable, but I sure like the product. And I think that sometimes leaders, we have to understand that the process, energy and motivation ebbs and flows. There are days that, boy, I'm ready to run through the wall. I love life. I love my organization. I love my people. And then there are days that it's just like that help wanted sign in at the McDonald's drive-through is looking very, very enticing. And then I found out the other day that McDonald's doesn't even have people taking your order at the drive-through. It's all AI. So it's like, oh, I just got put out of a job. So my fallback just ru got ruined for me.
Oh no, there's so many more, but I get it. There's so that's actually very encouraging when we hear leaders at your level say that there are days that actually they don't feel like it. That is a very encouraging thing and an important message, I think. Around the oh, so back to the process. I think so what I'm hearing is like you're never going to feel like it. Some days you're not going to feel like it. So what I'm solving for is a preparation model or a motivation model or a push yourself
Yeah.
model, a
Yeah.
set of instructions on what to do on what
I
bad
think
days.
I don't know that I've ever thought through modeling this out, but I think for me, the way that it works is if I make a plan in advance in a emotionally agnostic moment where it's like there's no emotion, it's like, okay, I want $1 million here, or I want $100,000 here, or I want this body weight, this body fat composition, whatever it is, if I want this relationship, if I, you know, then these are the activities I know I have to. It's the marathon. I know in beginning, you know, in 5 months I'm going to run a marathon. So these are the activities that I have. Chad Himes just texted me, the author of Achieve Your Apex, just sent me a plan. He says, hey, consider this plan for running a marathon. Well, it takes all the decisions out of it. So I think part of the model is plan your actions in advance of your emotions, knowing that your emotions may hijack. So don't let the day be the decision maker. Decide well in advance, these are the things I'm going to do, so that you can hit autopilot, that it's the alarm goes off and I do this. And I think that that has to be a part of it, that leaders have to plan their preparation in advance. So if there's tension in your organization, have a cadence of conversation that you know every Friday at 10 o'clock you're talking to this person, you know, so that you don't avoid hard conversations. Have an outline of what that conversation looks like. Here's our goal. Here's our gap. Here's our plan. You know, it's like this is what we said we're going to do. This is what we are doing, and here's our plan moving forward. When we plan, if we plan our work and then work our plan, that is some of the model that helps me get out of my own way, because I know on a typical Thursday or a typical Tuesday, I may or may not feel. Mondays are usually pretty hard on me because it's death by Zoom day. I'm talking to all my organizations and having all my organizations talk to me. Well, it's in my calendar. It's not a decision. It's in my calendar. I just do it. I think leaders have to learn how to, plan the work and then commit for a period of time. The next 3 months, we're going to work this plan and then we'll adjust after that. Never adjust plan on the fly because you don't feel like the plan is worthy. Always adjust your plan outside of the work so you can objectively say, oh, that exercise program doesn't work, or that lead generation model doesn't work.
Right. I think, okay, the well in advance is so important, even the night before. And I've been hearing a lot of people talk about, so Ben Kinney gave all of his leaders, now he talks about it all the time online, but Ben Kinney gave his leaders a model for the night before a big day, or essentially every night.
Great model.
And the planning, I think it's 7 steps, but the planning well in advance is huge. At the end of a work day, when you are like literally getting your jammies on, washing your face, and like realizing you still have dishes in the sink. Oh crap, let's clean that up real quick. I want to have a good morning. When you're in that state of mind, that's too actually too late.
Really, it for sure. Yeah,
Yeah.
and Ben actually, I've taken some of his model that, and every day, every morning, I text him what I wrote the night before. Here are my three priorities for the day. So his thing is, before you go to bed, visualize in your head what you want the day to look like the next day. Then write out your 2 to 3 priorities for the next day. Then the third thing is look at your calendar. Does it match that? Do you need to get rid of anything for those priorities? Then say out loud what your priorities are, right? And then go. I can't remember all the steps, so I've just taken it like, okay, I'm going to be real intentional that I'm not going to let the day dictate me. I'm going to seize the day. So even this morning, he probably hates it. 6 o'clock in the morning, I'm texting him, and he's 2 hours behind me, so it's probably hitting his text. But like today, he texted me right back. Great job. This is what partners do. They communicate daily. So it's like, okay, I get it. And it's like, it's not, Ben's probably already forgotten what my priorities are, but it's not for him to remember. And it's not for him to even hold me accountable. It's just me going through the act of getting really clear that today I know I need to coach my agents on their goal setting for the year, because there's some lack of clarity in month four. So that's my topic for the day of all, probably the 10 people I'll coach today. I will have a conversation about an organization we're trying to build around a mastermind, Apex Mastermind. So it's like, I have a strategic conversation. I'm going to make some lead gen calls. I probably ought to put a number on that. It's like, I know specifically what I'm going to do because I texted Ben this morning and now I remember all those things.
Yeah, that's okay. So this, what I'm feeling, I'm putting myself in your shoes as you're having that conversation with Ben Kinney, and I'm starting to feel motivated in giving myself some accountability with another person.
Yeah.
So, okay, Mel Robbins, love this, love her.
Yes, she's
She's
great.
one of her biggest messages is that motivation is not real. You're
That's
never
right.
going to feel like it. But I think there are ways, Mel. I love you. I think there are ways.
Well, I think
I.
even Mel kind of contradicts herself in the sense that I understand her overarching point, you're never going to feel it, but 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 is an artificial way to create a moment of motivation, so I go do it.
Yes.
Like I mean, I know what the heart of, and I agree with the heart of what she's saying, but 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 is artificially manufacturing motivation for a second.
Right. Which is, it might be the only way. The only other way to feel motivation is just to like hang out and wait and maybe it happens. Like that's not a formula. I can't depend on that.
Yeah,
That's
that's right.
so helpful. It's so good. So in is there such a thing as too much preparation? Like I don't think there is, but I think there's a balance in feeling like if you look at one day, if there's too much preparation and not enough, say, reward, I don't know that that keeps you going. Like I think you can beat yourself up in preparation too.
Oh, I have somebody in my world right now that beats the crud out of herself, and somehow I don't know where we got trained that we think we could beat ourselves up into greatness. It just does it. Nobody who beats themselves up, beats themselves up, gets there. That doesn't serve us. Honest feedback, honest assessment, that serves us. But beating ourselves up just doesn't. It serves no one. And in fact, in some ways, it's kind of narcissistic because you become the center of the whole equation. And so, and by the way, that is somebody who has a PhD in beating himself up. And so that,
Right.
right. And so I think that sometimes when we run a plan, we, if we do it from a frame of I am terrible, I am not powerful, boy, that just becomes just a paralysis. That becomes you don't get any power from it. It's like, what can I do? And that's actually, I think, one of the geniuses of Ben Kenny's Night Before thing. It's not, don't plan your year, don't plan your month, don't plan your week. Just what are you doing tomorrow? And that simplifies it way down. So that's, I think that he goes really micro in his planning, and there's some power in that. The 5-4-3-2-1 of Mel Robbins, that's very micro. However, I do think that working a plan and then analyzing the plan when I'm not in the emotion of what the plan causes. So if I'm in, like, you're gonna talk to a bunch of real estate agents. So if they say, I need to make 20 contacts a day. Well, don't alter that plan when you're making the contacts, because depending on your success level, you may say, oh, this works or this doesn't work. Alter that plan after you have a whole body of work for several weeks of saying, okay, I did 20 contacts a day and it yielded nothing, and I did it for 4 weeks. Then alter the plan, but don't alter the plan on call number 12 because somebody just yelled at you.
This is, collecting enough data so we know that did we follow that model all the
Yeah.
way through? A lot of
I tell
people.
people, like, my son is a big golf guy. He likes golf, and I could take it or leave it, but I'm not a real big fan of golf. But the truth is, it's not, golf's not the problem. I suck at it. I just don't like to suck at things. And so I don't like to go out and pay for fresh, 3 or 4 hours of frustration. If I really wanted to know if I like golf, get good at it. And once I get good at it, I could tell you, do I like golf or not? And so leaders have to understand we need enough time and reps and get good at that before we can say that works or that doesn't work. I'm listening to a biography on Elon Musk right now. And if there's ever anybody who's been insane with his deadlines and his demands of, and his completely out of whack work-life balance, it's Elon Musk. But what Elon was really, really good at is, here's the plan, get on the bus, get off the bus, I don't really care, I'll find other people who get on the bus, and let's go put a man on Mars, which is crazy vision.
Yes,
And he's
insane.
he actually, that vision is changing how we fundamentally operate in our world today. I mean, good grief, our cars have more electronics and more auto this and auto that, and it's because of Elon Musk's vision.
I did see a I did see a truck, one of his trucks. It looks like a dishwasher, though,
Yeah, it kind of
honestly.
does. Yeah.
We can do some more work there, I think.
Yeah, on the aesthetics of it, yeah.
There's more innovation to be done still,
Well,
but
that
I
he may have
agree.
innovated himself outside of the American consumer's taste.
Right. I love what you said. I circled it in the middle of my in the middle of my page here about having a no decisions list. The question I wrote down is, I mean, and for everybody, what is it that you need to do today in order to not have to make a decision on your success tomorrow?
I love
And
that
so,
question.
like, is there a there's a it's a one page thing. A lot of leaders will go by this now. Your business plan, if it's longer than one page, you're never going to remember it. You're going to forget it. It's too detailed. And so having a one page or no decisions, this is what I'm going to, this is absolutely what needs to happen. I love that. And so I think it's greater than time blocking too. I think that time blocking, we love to, our brains love to defy our calendars. We love that.
Yeah.
It makes us really happy. It's a dopamine hit of procrastination. And
Yeah.
so I think the no decisions checklist, in addition to the calendar, you still will try to defy it. But in addition to it, I think that's huge for me. If you're starting anything big, if you're starting anything big, you're going to want to make the decision to not do a lot of those things on your list.
That's right. That's
And
right.
so having the no decisions list is a non-negotiable. I love that. That's a very helpful for me in my new project. Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And
So,
so the perfect day of my world is the day that I go and I open up my calendar and I hit autopilot and I'm just running the day.
oh,
And I'm not
yeah.
deciding what I'm doing with my time because the decision was already made. That's the, now that it doesn't happen all the time, but that's the perfect day.
That feels like, that feels like freedom,
Yeah,
which is
that is freedom.
weird because freedom is usually to me more like control of your time. And so this is a letting go of your time. This is a, I've already decided, I've put it in place, and I'm just letting it execute.
I had a thought a long time ago, somebody was convicted for premeditated murder. And I thought, you know, the truth is all mistakes and all, and murder obviously is more than just a mistake, but I mean, all mistakes are premeditated and all success is premeditated. It all began with a thought at some moment in time. And based upon my programming, I take action on that thought or I don't take action, but nobody ever did anything without it first being a thought.
Yes.
And so I've meditated on that a lot, that, oh, all my failures were premeditated. Ooh, ouch. I actually had a thought process that caused that failure and I could blame somebody else, but no, that was inside of my head.
Mm-hmm.
And all successes were premeditated too. So I choose to premeditate a successful calendar, a successful way of operating. What does that look like? In fact, this morning I was coaching somebody. I said, I tell you what, I know you're frustrated and I know you're down on yourself. Separate yourself. Imagine a person who gets that type of results. What do they look like? And chart that out, because I wanted them to separate their emotion from that successful and then just reinvent yourself and be that person.
Being that person.
Yeah.
If you identify as the person that has your success, that's the fastest way to habit change.
That's right.
Premeditating. The word itself states that we're thinking about this ahead of time.
Yeah.
We literally can't. Our brains don't function in the way to be able to allow us to do something that we haven't already thought about.
Right.
So in controlling our thinking, what are we going to premeditate onto our calendars in order to have the perfect day?
Well, think about this. Like, today I'm not going to go speak Ukrainian. I've never thought about speaking Ukrainian before. You know, it's like, I haven't prepared for that. I don't even know one word in Ukrainian, right? And so it's like, I could go and coach a bunch of agents, and I could, like, I'm thinking about, I already know it's on my calendar. So it's like, okay, now I don't want to have a dead coaching appointment. I don't want to have something that's ineffective. So what do I need to do? Well, we need to really hone in on some of their goals, because I'm looking at some of the things that they're doing and maybe they're kind of drifting a little bit. And so it's like, I'm actually thinking about that. Even in the background as we're talking, it's like, I'm thinking about the rest of my day. Well, that's meditating. That's thinking on, that's mulling it over. So by the time it comes out, I have a greater chance of it being effective. So yeah, and it all comes from somewhere in our heads.
Yeah. Have you actually pictured tomorrow's success? Have you actually pictured it? That's part of the Ben Kinney 7-step model, is to visualize,
yeah, to see it in
all
your
of the things on your checklist. We can literally not brush our teeth until we see it in our heads first. We're just so used to seeing that every day that we don't notice it, but we're having that thought. I'm going to brush my teeth. I'm going to move my hands like this in a circle until, yes.
That's right. That's right. And unfortunately, there are some people who have an aversion to the whole visualization stuff, because there are people who go to the extreme with that. And I understand, like, the people who are very rational and very logical and more Mr. Spock than the new age woo-woo type of crowd.
You mean like delusional? Yeah, we get delulu about it. Yeah.
And I'm not of this thing I've read all the books and stuff. I'm not of this thing, if I visualize a feather, then I'll see a feather. If I visualize a feather, I'll see it. I'm not there, but there is an awful lot of truth about the power of our imagination and the power of seeing it in our heads. And the clearer I could see it in my head, the clearer I could develop it with my hands. And it goes from my hand to my head to my hands. And so I need to imagine it, internalize it, see it. And I think all failure starts, like, people who are running scared right now, they have an opportunity to shift that fear and say, quit picturing what fear is, I'm picturing what I don't want. And, right? It's like, now that, here's a great question that I asked a group of top agents yesterday, about 100 agents in a room. I said, now that this has happened, how am I going to live? Like, now that this has happened, whatever it is, now that the stock market tanked, now that the housing market cried, now that I got fired, now that my people just did a mutiny on me and left me, now that I got stabbed in the back, now that this happened, how am I going to choose to live? And am I going to give them the power, or do I picture a future forward in which I maintain my power and I'm not going to abdicate any of my emotional energy to what didn't work out? I was listening to Jamie Kern Lima's book, Worthy, and I love her statement that says, your rejection is God's protection. And
I love that too.
Yeah, because I think there's a lot of disappointment, a lot of tension, a lot of rejection, especially when you're a leader. People don't understand leaders struggle with rejection too, right? They may not show it to you, but they're struggling with it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as a leader, you probably shouldn't show all your people all your feelings. However, it's their rejection was just God's protection. So it was God's protection from proceeding this way or from proceeding with that person or what have you. There's a reason why people in your past don't make it to your future, right? And so now that this has happened, how will I live? And mm-hmm. we're back in power again.
That's a great point. I like being back in power. There, it's true. You have no idea what it is that you have avoided when you have been rejected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Think about all the people that growing up that we dated, we got a crush on, and we prayed, dear God, please let me marry this person. And then you look back at on social media, I'm like, oh my gosh, they're a train wreck. I dodged a bullet there. Right. Right? It's like, I'm really glad God didn't answer all my prayers and mm-hmm. that I, you know, so many people said no and it didn't work out because, you know, God was just preparing me for the right person.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Amen.